Hey, bitch! It's time for the book club.
Warning, spoilers ahead.
Hello and welcome everybody back to another exciting Campfire Gaming Podcast book club. That is right, we're back with Shredder's Revenge for the month of July 2022. We had a lot of fun with this one, I think. I can't speak for everybody in this chat, but I know that myself and my spouse had a really good time with this one. How did you guys feel about it?
Well, first off, I love the energy. It's fantastic.
Woo!
But it is a book club episode, so I think it's well deserved. But yes, no, I loved this game was so much fun. I had so much fun playing it, except for one little aspect, but we'll get into that.
Right. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. It just came out this year. This is a pretty new one. When did it release? This
was last
released
month.
Just last month. That's right. You can pick it up for $25 on Steam, or I'm sure you can get it other places if you're a console player, or Game Pass. I think that's the. Where did you guys play this game?
Xbox/Game Pass.
So you did on an Xbox with the Game Pass, right?
Correct.
What about you, Mike?
I played it upon the Xbox via Game Pass.
Cool. All right. Oh, man, I'm such a bad host. Where are my manners? My name is Rich, and I'm going to be your host through this week's episode, or this month's episode, I should say. We're now going on to the new format. We're focusing entirely on book clubs so that we can play all the good games and do all the cool things inside those good games without having to be bogged down by other episodes. Not like they were bogging us down, but it's more fun to focus on the stuff that we think is the coolest part of our podcast, which is the book club.
Exactly.
If you're new to the book club, what this is once a month, we have somebody from either the community or ourselves to pick out a game that the entire podcast is going to play together. We encourage all of our listeners, all of our members of our Discord and such to participate with us as we play through the game throughout the month. And at the end of the month, just like a book club, we'll just talk about it. And that's kind of the whole purpose of this show now. All right. So, my name is Rich, and with me, I've got, of course, Matt, my co-host of Long Time.
Long Time.
Long Time.
Podcast even, Long Time.
and even longer Long Time, we got Mike. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks.
Glad we could have you for a back-to-backer.
Back-to-back-to-back, actually.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you beat me to one. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. So let's kick this off. We're talking Shredder's Revenge this month. Let's just dive right in. One of the things I am going to comment on right away is kind of I don't know if it's a nitpick, but it's something that I was a little kind of hesitant about, and that is the price point. I think that the game, while really, really fun, is kind of short. There's a lot of like extra content that you can do outside of just playing through it the one time. I only played through it the one time. Mm-hmm. But it, like, you can knock this game out real fast.
Yeah, it took me and my young brother and his friend about 2.5 hours to beat on just like normal.
Yeah.
So it's not very long at all.
Right. It's basically like, I suppose I should probably describe the game that we're playing. It is a classic arcade style beat 'em up game. It's very much, you know, very reminiscent of that old school Ninja Turtles arcade style game where it's just you side scroll, you mash a bunch of buttons to beat a bunch of dudes up that come on screen, you fight some bosses, you work your way through levels until you hit the end of the game. And it's very much like those arcade games, with the exception of having to put in coins. Like, you don't have to put into coins or tokens or anything like that to continue playing. So you just die a whole bunch of times. I don't know what happens if you lose all your lives, but
yeah, we were too good.
Tell you what happens.
What happens when you lose all your lives?
So I played through this game with a 7-year-old, and very occasionally he spent like most of the time as Michelangelo, yelling "Party, dude!" So it was very. Like, so they ramp up. I'm pretty sure it ramps up a little bit more the more people you have in there. I didn't test this, but I've only played it multiplayer. I haven't played single player.
Mm-hmm.
So if you die, you just restart the level at like whatever checkpoint. It's really, there's no like start the level over or anything like that. You just, you know, go again.
And that's if you lose all of your...
Yeah, we just got knocked out and we just started back. I'm 90% sure it was back at the checkpoint, but it could have been restart the level. Like you get kicked out of the level and start it all over again.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm kind of curious how that handles on higher difficulties too, because that seems like... Yeah, the game is really, really short, and it's not really that hard. You know, no. If you play, like, even on normal difficulty, I mean, you'll probably die a few times. But overall, it's really not that bad of a game. And then, yeah, like, as you're, especially if you're playing with people, you're dying, and then they can pick you back up. So they have, like, a revive mechanic that you can do to completely avoid losing a life. So with that in play, it just kind of... You know, the punishment for dying is not really there, so to speak, and you just kind of railroad your way through the game.
Well, it's kind of hard to do punishment for death in these games unless you're going to do something like your turtle is gone and you no longer get to play with that turtle until you beat the game or two levels or some sort of knockout system. Because, like, the original intent, like Turtles in Time, there was definitely punishment if you died, right? That's another 25 cents that you got to pump into this machine. And TMNT Turtles in Time was super difficult. Shout out to Matt for beating that with me at the bar. But so it's really hard, I think, in one of these games to push towards real punishment. It's just go back and do it again.
Sure. I mean, I think that's the case for Lives, though. But it felt like I never really died enough to even make it through all of my lives. And it sounds like when you do make it through, or if you do lose all of your lives, you don't even start back that far. Like, you don't have to restart the level or anything. That's what I would expect, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder if it's different. Did you guys play arcade mode at all, or just story?
Just the story.
Story mode.
I wonder what it's like for arcade, like, if that's where you get that difficulty, where it's like you lose both your turtles, then you go back and have to start, like, the entire thing over.
Yeah, it was when I clicked on it or hovered wherever it said that it described that mode, it was saying that, like, you have that set amount of lives, and when they're gone, right? So it's not like story mode where you just get three lives each level, and then, you know, it's really hard to die, right?
Yeah, so that's where you get that, you know,
kind of the more
real, true, like, original version of these games, if that's what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So yeah. Okay. So if you're going for that classic arcade feel, you go play the arcade mode.
Yep.
Seems to make sense.
Your friends. Yeah. If they're on different platforms.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other gripe that I have, is that, you know, between game, like, you know, there's crossplay. You can play people with, you can play with people who are on Game Pass, through Xbox and, PC. But not if they bought it on Steam, as we ran into when we were trying to set up a game together.
Yeah. No, I was a little disappointed. Also, before we get too far in, unless I missed it, we did not shout out spoilers ahead.
Oh.
I know there's really not anything crazy here in this game to spoil.
No.
Maybe
not
some
a lot,
little
but
tidbits.
Yes.
But let's,
thank you.
Let's throw that out real quick. But yes, no, I was really looking forward to crossplay, because you can have up to six people. And I think we would have had six people the other day when we were trying to play crossplay. But yeah, like, that's my biggest complaint about it, is like, I really wanted that chaos. I really wanted to play with you guys, play through the story again with you guys.
Same.
And it just, yeah, for whatever reason, Steam to Xbox doesn't work. So that was,
or at least not that we could tell, right? I mean, like, one of the, what we were running into was a bug, or at least it seemed like a bug. And it wasn't just a TMNT specific, like, a game specific bug, because I've seen reports of the same bug happening for people who are playing like Forza, who are playing like Halo or something like that, who they get invited through, because we were using the Xbox Party app or the Xbox app, and we were trying to coordinate everybody through that. And what ends up happening is that you get this bug where it sends you like a file link to, I'm guessing, what would normally be a party invite to their game to open up a session. But instead, what it does is it just sends you directly to the store to buy it off of the Microsoft store. So thanks a lot, Microsoft. You're just trying to get me to buy more stuff. But
yeah, which is really unfortunate, that whether it's a bug or this is intentional, regardless, like, the only crossplay that it supports currently, is just Xbox to PCs. You know, so you'd think they'd work a little bit hard to make sure that's actually functioning, since it's not like I can join with PlayStation or Nintendo or whatever, you know, it's just this one route, Xbox to PC. But yeah, no, that was honestly probably my biggest complaint with the game, was just I was really looking forward to play with you guys. And I played one session with my siblings and their friend. There was four of us and it was just complete chaos. So I was really looking forward to six people and what amount of insanity that would be.
Right, because I just played with one other person, and you know, even we kind of lost ourselves in midst of the chaos, where we would lose track of what character we were on screen,
mm-hmm.
and then we would be like walking into a wall, but we really think that we're like fighting something.
Yeah,
we had that happen a couple of times, but yeah, doing that with like six people would be absolutely bonkers.
And just think how fast the bosses would die! Like,
oh my god, yeah, insane.
With four people, they were going down pretty quick already. With six, I think it would be... Well, I mean, at that point, you'd probably want to put it up to higher difficulty. But yeah, it was... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would be fun.
I actually really liked a lot of the bosses in this game.
Oh, I did too.
I think they were all pretty well creative, for the most part, on how you do it. Chrome Dome, I think, is my favorite boss fight out of all of it, just because of the mechanic I learned when we were playing Matt on how to stop punching you. But
you have to like blow up the barrel or whatever.
No. So there's a way to do it better than that, right? So you did it the same way I did. You fight him and then he sits up, like he throws the goons down. You got to fight the Foot Clan and then you got to blow up the barrels. And then he comes down and does that like jumping punch.
Yep.
Apparently, you're supposed to just grab the first guy that walks on screen and throw him at the screen.
It
hits him and he comes down, doesn't even punch, and just like lands and you just get to beat the heck out of him.
Yeah,
so that fight
cool.
was like three times longer because you have to wait for each of those barrel sets. Like, it was an effective way. It got him to come down. So I immediately thought, well, that's what I gotta do. I guess this is me now. Like, just waiting and punching barrels.
Mm-hmm. No, I think my favorite boss out of the game was the Statue of Tyranny. I thought that was like I was laughing my ass off. I thought that was so funny. It plays like that Star Spangled Banner when like the boss is like walking in, and I was just commenting about like how swole the Statue of Liberty got. I was like, damn, look at them forearms. They've been doing some massive lifts. Look at that. Mm-hmm. It was really funny.
Shout out to, there's 16 levels in this game and each level had a boss, and it's to the point that it's been forever since I've watched the cartoon. And when I was playing with my younger siblings who have watched it more recently than me, they're like seeing all these Easter eggs and pointing them out to me, someone who hasn't watched in probably 30 years. Right. And they're just like, this person's in it. This is so cool. So it was really cool. Just like, knowing how much love that they put in this game. And again, it was so cool that each level ended with a boss fight and they were all fun. The only one you guys picked your favorites. I'm going to go out here and pick the one I hated the most. And that was Rat King. Mostly because every time I'd go and like actually get up to him, start beating the crap out of him, he'd jump back up on what was it, the car or the crap pile there, and whistle for his rats to come back in. It was just annoying. But the creativity of the bosses was fun and kept it fresh. It didn't like, it's not like I went into every level going, well, wonder what boss we're going to have, what stupid mechanic they're going to, you know, it was like, oh yeah, this is really cool. All this character's from here. That's awesome. You know?
Right. Like even when they brought back Bebop and Rocksteady, mm-hmm. You fight them, I think, a couple of times, like once individually.
Once separate,
and then,
yep.
Yeah. And then you fight them when they're in the truck, which was actually really funny. Mm-hmm. And then you fight them together. And even when between fighting them separately and then fighting them together, still felt really different. So I got to applaud them for that they did a really good job with, even when they're recycling characters, it's still a really fresh feeling fight.
Yeah, it was fun too, seeing like, it wasn't all callbacks to the show. Like Rezar and Toka were in there too from from the live action movies.
Yep, from the ooze. Yeah. So when he throws like the ooze can down, I'm like, oh my god, I remember that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it was so good.
It's such a rich area to be able to draw characters from. Like there are so many just good like villains and little good guys, like all the little extra dudes that you could go and like hunt them down throughout the level.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I didn't really, and maybe it's because I haven't seen any of the show in a really, really long time, but like that whole like dinosaur area, I don't remember that. What is that?
That was my thing. The dinosaur, and then honestly, I didn't remember the neutrinos and the punk frogs, which were, they were technically collectibles, right?
Yeah, I don't remember those either.
I think that was probably really late season Turtles, and I just, you know.
I think those were comic book or like comic era book, yeah. Turtles, but they were in the show too, right? So you got to know them in like the original, like 1980s, 1990s, whatever that was. They were in that show as well. I think the dinosaurs were all part of that, like, Universe X or whatever it was, like the
Dimension X.
Dimension X, when you had like where Krang was from and all of that. I'm pretty sure that's their area, and they fought some and they teamed up with some in that area, and then the frogs were like another set of like turtle people almost. They were also oozed, I believe, but I think they were California. And I think that's why they were surfer bros. It's like they were from California instead of New York.
Yeah, I was gonna say like the neutrinos and dinosaur stuff. Yeah, you are correct. I'm pretty sure from Dimension X, where the punk frogs are another like, but like Earth, you know, they didn't come from some Dimension X thing. But yeah, I honestly didn't really remember them at all. But again, like I said, it's probably been 25, 30 years since I've watched the show.
Right.
Decades.
I've watched the live action movies more recently than I have the old cartoon.
But I mean, it still was incredibly fun. Like, I've been out of Ninja Turtles for a long time, but I mean, even I had stuff that was recognizable in there. You know, like, it was still really, really iconic. They nailed it on both a visual and on a presentation level. They absolutely nailed it, like between like the soundtracks, which, by the way, holy shit, some of those soundtracks in that game were absolutely amazing. There are a couple of like really good hip hop tracks that were in there that I was like, oh my god, like this is actually really, really good.
The soundtrack slaps. It's awesome. It's I love that we pick these games, and most of the time when we pick a book club game, they all have fantastic soundtracks. So I love that almost every episode we're in here, we're just excited about the soundtrack. But
to say that the rap song in this one was better than Vanilla Ice's Go Ninja?
I'm not saying nothing. I'm not going to throw myself on that cross, but I'm just saying that this game had some really good hip hop tracks.
Oh, 100%.
Just saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really fun to be able to beat up, you know, beat up a shitload of everything to some of these really banger soundtrack. I really liked it. Other than that, the story of the game, I mean,
it's very basic.
Yeah, it's an arcade game. Like, it's not really like super, like, this isn't Stray. You know, you're not going to get some like deep narrative thing or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cute. That's what I would say. It's cute.
Yeah.
It's just that
classic Turtles, you know?
Yeah, they're just taking over the Statue of Liberty. You got, you know, you got Shredder who's doing his thing. Krang is doing his thing. And
you're just working through, trying to stop.
It seemed like it was just they were trying to rebuild Krang, right? Like you're constantly chasing after somebody stealing a bit of Krang and running away until he's rebuilt, and then pandemonium.
And that was the whole, like, that was the twist, right? They lured you into Dimension X. You're fighting off, you know, Krang and all the foot, and then you go find out that it, you know, they were distracting you from creating the Statue of Tyranny, right?
Right.
You
know? And then you have to fight Shredder and the Statue of Tyranny at the end, which that was a pretty okay fight. Although I did think that like the Shredder fight at the end was definitely easier than a lot of the other fights leading up to it. Like some of the boss fights I felt like were legitimately way harder than the Shredder fight.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys felt the same way.
Maybe it was just because it was back-to-back boss fights technically, because it was Statue of Tyranny, right, and a Shredder. Maybe they were just kind of like,
right,
we can't make both of these like crazy hard. Maybe in arcade they're, you know, by that point you have maybe one life or no life left, and then you're sweating a little bit, you know, will I make it?
Yeah, I can't remember what fight we ended up having the most. Like, we didn't really lose on any of the fights, but I can't remember one of the ones that we had, I think, the most trouble with was, oh, it was one of the boss fights where you had the duo characters.
Mm-hmm. Probably Toka and Rezar, or no? Oh,
yeah, I think that
the Weasel and the,
I say maybe, was it Ground Chuck and Dirtbag? Those, the dude that could have been, I know that was one
that
with the
might
dude
have
that popped up with a shovel a bunch.
No, he, yeah, I think it was
frustrating.
I think it was Toka and Rezar. I think that was probably the one that we had the most trouble with, just because, like, if one of us got knocked down or something, mm-hmm. it was almost impossible to get us back up. Yeah. There was so much damage flying around the board. It was just like, we couldn't, you're just like, yeah, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're going to take a life.
Yeah, that was definitely the boss fights. It was hard to pick people back up. Yeah, a little less hard when there's four of you there, but you know, that usually, yeah, there's a lot of little attacks and AOE things going on that make it a little tough. Right. I imagine more so with two people. So,
mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not like the board is super big, right?
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of arena to work with. So if anything happens on that board, you're just kind of, okay, I'm probably going to get hit by something.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't want to say it was tough, but Chrome Dome was just a longer fight, even with being able to throw the foot dude at when you throw it at the screen, you know, grab it and throw it at the screen. I felt that it took a little longer than some of the other fights. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just me.
I felt like that one and the Shredder fight, because they had those invincible phases, like where you just had to dodge. I think that's where those took longer, and it was a heck of a lot easier with four people than mm-hmm. it was with two people,
right.
For sure.
You can just blitz out like a ton of damage in between those invulnerability phases. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess we can get into some of the combat, which, I mean,
or just the mechanics in general.
Yeah. Like, I guess this is where, like, again, I didn't pay for this game, so to me, it was worth every cent. It was on Game Pass. Game Pass. But, like, if I spent $25 on this, I do feel like it should be a little cheaper. It's definitely due to the length, and really, I played, three different characters, and there's only slight differences with them in how they play in combat. But, like, the majority of what you're doing is pretty much the same. Right.
Yeah.
It really is just their probably, I guess, special attack, right? That's probably the most different than, mm-hmm. you know, between the different characters.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it seems like, you know? So I don't think, like, as far as replayability, it's one of those, like, you kind of take it as it is, you know, you know exactly if you're kind of into these sort of, you know, like Streets of Rage and other TMNT, like beat 'em up games, like, it's a shoe in for you. Like, you're gonna love it, and you're probably going to play it quite a few times. I don't know if I'm gonna be playing it anymore now that it's not for, like, now that we kind of got the book club done. I don't know. I might, like, it's a nice game in that, you know, it's one of those you can just play for like 5 minutes and feel like you've done something kind mm-hmm. of games, which is really cool. But yeah, it's not there's not enough. It's really, really hard to say, because, like, so for the price point of it being about $25, it's like, it feels really short, but the soundtrack is great. But there isn't a lot of variety between the characters, but the boss fights are really good, and the mechanics are not too, like, it's not too restrictive, you know?
Yeah. Let's throw out, too, this seems to be a studio that respected its IP, which a lot of studios aren't doing anymore.
Like, absolutely.
They literally... I watched a couple of their little dev videos prior to the game coming out, and I was like, okay, this sounds just like, you know, just some BS from a studio before their game comes out. All they did was talk about, like, how they'd, like, go back and watch the show when they're trying to do everything they can to be as faithful. And then you play it, and you're like, shit, yeah. I mean, it looks great. It sounds great. They clearly did their research with enemies and bosses, and it was overall fun. And it really felt like they respected the IP, and it was a fantastic feeling. And a lot of fun to play through.
Right. I mean, they took the IP, and they didn't just make some sort of, like, kind of bolted together Turtles experience. Like, it really feels like an authentic arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, you know, and I think that honestly is a really, really good thing, in that they're really, truly, and especially as you get into games that are becoming way more complex and way bigger, and the budgets are getting ridiculously huge, and everything they're trying to shove into a game, you know, like with like crazy mocap and high paid voice actors and stuff like that. This game is so boiled down to just like, it's just supposed to be a fun game. And I feel like that was so refreshing to play in just in terms of gaming in general. I mean, like, we have a lot of fun games on this book club, but like, because this game was just so simple, you really could just engage with the game itself.
Yeah.
Like, you're not looking for like, you know, like the deepest story or anything like that. You're really just, you're diving in and you're beating up a bunch of dudes and you're having some fun with friends if you're playing with any and killing bosses. Like, it's just fun. And that's what I love about it, is that it's just going back to just what makes this game really fun.
Yep. Playing the game just because it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. You just play it because it's actually a fun game to play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I gotta hand it to him in that, but like I said, like the $25 price tag is like, I think it's really, really good, but also I feel like it, like, maybe like I would probably feel a little less like eerie about it if it was like $20.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's really like, it's really, really hard to say, because I definitely feel like it was like, I had a lot of fun with this, but did I have $25 worth of fun? I don't know. I blasted. Yeah. My wife and I blasted through this in like 2.5 hours. So I was like, okay, quite a movie's worth of entertainment, but there was a lot of production in it, I guess, but I don't know.
It's, again, I guess I'm coming from, I got a Game Pass, so I didn't spend the money, but
sure. If you got Game Pass, go play the hell out of this game. Like, highly encourage you go play it.
Yeah, no, it's just, I think if I would have spent I'd say this is like a $10 or $15. It's, the hard part is just because the combat and the characters aren't, they're very kind of shallow, which again I don't think is a bad thing, but it's not like it's really simple. I'm not really itching to go back and play and level up each character, because their specials are fun, and I think I played April, Leo, and who was the third one? Was Mikey maybe? No, I forget. Anyways, and one of the other turtles, and like, their specials are fun, but like, they're not that different. They're not going to change the way you play the game. You know, it's not just this big game. So to me, it's not like, well, I'm going to go grind out every character, right? You know?
Yeah.
So I could see there, if you spent $25, it might not feel like money well spent, but I don't know. It's just such a great game.
It's really hard to say it. I feel like $15, I would totally buy this again. $20, I'm kind of getting into that, like, this seems fair, but it seems a little on the high side. 25, I feel like, the price tag is a little bit high, but I feel like if you're on Game Pass, you have no excuse not to play this. Like, it's that good. You can beat the game in, you know, 2 to 3 hours, and you can, you know, have a lot of fun doing it, I think. So
do it with friends too, by the way.
And do it with friends. Yeah, play it with people.
I think I played a level or two by myself, and it was fun, but it was just more fun to get the 2, 3, 4 people in and just sit there and just, you know, beat up on the Foot Clan and all the different bosses. It was just a good time.
Yeah, and I feel like this would be a really fun game if, like, you're having a party at your house or something like that. You just, like, set this up on, like, a TV and just let people kind of swap in and out, drop in and out, and play with each other like that. Like, that'd be, like, this is a perfect game for a setting like that. Like, a fun, couchy co-op, like, everybody's just kind of having fun kind of a thing. Because, again, it's casual fun, and that's a good, like, I think that's also really, really good. Like, there are places for hardcore gamers and things like that, but I feel like any kind of gamer, whether you're hardcore, casual, whatever, could find fun in something like this.
Yeah. No, it's, if you got Game Pass, or it comes down to $10 or $15, pick it up, have fun. Cause that's what you're going to have. You're going to have fun. It's a fun game.
Yeah. We've just got to have fun.
How many times do we want to say it?
Right. And that's the thing with video games nowadays, like, sometimes you just kind of feel like all they do is just kind of lose the fact that games are kind of supposed to be fun. Like, that's why you play games, right? Is to entertain yourself and to have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have like some deep introspective narrative. You don't have to have like crazy esport level mechanics or anything like that. Like, where the hell is the fun, man? Like, just make the game fun.
Yeah.
That's what I want from a lot of games. Like, a lot of video games nowadays are kind of shying away from that. It's either like about grinds and crazy progression systems and deep introspective narratives, and it just the fun kind of gets lost in all of the sea of like over design and over engineering, when it's like, this game is gonna, like, I hope this game succeeds even more, because it's just fun.
I think if I remember, only a few weeks after it releasing, they sold like a million copies or something, so I think it's doing pretty good.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. I mean, to your point though, like, I'm so glad they didn't try to like bog this down with some insane combo or skill tree combo sets or skill trees or something.
Or like a ridiculous progression system. Like, there's not even really, like, there's unlocks in the game, but there's not really a progression system. Like, you can unlock skills by, I guess, quote, leveling up your characters, but
you have 10 levels. Yeah, you have 10 levels to each character. And again, like a lot of the other stuff, it helps out a little bit. You know, a little, you can store up to 3 specials once you unlock enough. You get like an extra life. You get a little extra health bar. But it's not like some crazy game changer. Again, it's not like, oh, well, for you to be, well, maybe in arcade mode or something. But like, it's not like one of those things where it's like, oh, I need to grind this out and level them up so I can actually beat the game or anything. Like, no, you can literally just keep hitting. You could probably hit X through the whole game, having a good time, not really worrying about some of the, you know, special move stuff. You know, and the other thing where I hope there's some sort of like DLC planned or something, or it's hard to say this, but like some sort of cosmetics, you know, maybe that they'll add in at some point. Like for unlockables, not a lot, nothing crazy, hopefully not, like, but like it would be cool to like have like, it'd be really neat if like they put some of the other turtles throughout the years, some of the live action or some of the other cartoon or different, like the samurai outfits or something from like the third movie, right? Or some of the more recent like 3D character looking turtles as like some unlockables, something simple, nothing crazy. But I was sitting there, oh, that'd be pretty cool, like if you could do a skin here or there, but nothing crazy like other games are doing now. That would be awful.
Right, but more more tie-ins to other parts of the source material.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it'd be cool.
Don't put microtransactions and do that. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, just keep this game simple. It works because it's so simple.
Yeah. No, any more like levels or stuff that they could do for DLC, against simple, just different costumes would be fun. Like, I think it'd be cool if they like, I know it's a 2D like sprite pixelated like game, but it'd be cool if they like, they could still use sprites technically, but like do like 3D modeling of like the turtles from the movie or something like that and put them in there as a sprite. So it'd be like that kind of like that kind of pixel art, like the old school look, but then you have this kind of like 3D turtle that's fighting through, you know, again, just little goofy things like that.
A Clay Fighters looking thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what game did something similar, had a similar type look. Yeah, but yeah,
like,
again,
like a Killer Instinct. Yeah. I think like the old Killer Instinct did something like that.
Yeah. So yeah. it'd be little fun things like that would be really neat if they put stuff in there, if they continue to support this in any way. But yeah, hopefully they don't like bog it down with crazy microtransactions or crap like that. No, like,
yeah, I don't think they need to. Like, yeah, this game on its own merit is just good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be tarnished with any sort of like, you know, any goofy mechanics that are going to have to, they're going to have to siphon your wallet to pay for this game. It sounds like the game has already paid for itself. Probably. I mean, it's not like, you know, with like a 2D sprite game, I mean, I can't imagine that this was too hard for a lot of people. And nowadays with now technology to be able to build this in a pretty quick fashion, which again, like, I feel like just kind of speaks volumes that they're like, you know, maybe it really is time for gaming to just kind of dial back on how much it's trying to push and focus again on kind of what made the games fun. I mean, we see things like, you know, like Vampire Survivors or something like that is took off. Like, that game took off on Steam. And it is so simple. You know, it is just a bullet hell game. It, you know, it's basically a bullet hell game slash roguelike. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing how entertaining that game actually is. Like, I sunk a crazy amount of hours into it, and it's not deep. There's not really any story to it. It was just fun. And that's the best part about it, is that it was just a simple little, it was a 2D tile game made by like one guy, and he just made it fun.
Yeah,
he made it. He just made it fun with some really cool mechanics that scale up, and then you get those crazy, like, you know, you have like, you know, thousands of enemies on screen that are just getting annihilated from your crazy abilities that are just shooting out everywhere, and it's just, it's crazy cool.
Yeah, no, I'd be totally fine for games to just go back to trying to be fun instead of trying to keep your attention 24/7 or wring you from every last dollar that you have. You know, I don't know if that'll happen in the future, but it, like with that, the games industry as a whole, but I do like these games that come through like Turtles, where it's just, as we've said 1800 times, it's fun. It's just fun. And it's a great playthrough. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an amazing playthrough. And I'm glad that we decided to pick this up for this month's book club.
Yeah. It was fun.
Like, I needed an excuse, but I mean, it was handy to be able to play this for, you know,
I would
be
like
able
to
talk about it.
I would like to give us all a pat on the back, because I think when we were doing the more regular weekly episodes, we'd talk about games and be like, this would be a fun book club, but we rarely ever play it. It will just, oh, this looks like it'd be a fun book club when it comes out or something like that. Well, we'd been saying that about this game. And then it came out, and we're like, shit, yeah, we're playing this for the book club.
Let's just get on it. Yeah, we wanted to play it right now. It reminds me of, like, you know, like, I think it was last year, it was The Ascent. You know, we were talking about doing The Ascent, and we were like, oh, my God, this looks so cool. We could co-op this. We should totally do this for a book. Never, ever touched. We still did it to this day, haven't touched it. And it's not going to be next month's book club either.
It's not. It's not. But yeah, no, that's a great example, because we saw that at a bunch of the, like, the E3 and the showcases and the Game Awards or whatever, wherever they showed it. We're like, this game looks fun. We should play for book club. This game looks fun. And it came out. It was funny. I was actually reminded of it the other day. I was flipping through Game Pass. I'm like, oh, The Ascent. Yeah, we never played that.
Yeah, we never played that. I did the same thing, too. I was looking for, like, because I think, yeah, it was my pick for the month of August, and I was just like, what should we play? This is The Ascent. Yeah, we're not gonna play it this month, but we could definitely do it later.
Yeah. maybe
someday.
A future book club, we'll play it.
Yeah, someday we'll get around to it. I'm looking forward to I'm kind of interested to see what we're gonna do for this year's Halloween
yeah.
pick. Yeah,
yeah, we'll,
I think there's a couple of really good horror games that are coming out.
Yeah. We'll just play a Resident Evil Reverse, but before we kind of end up here, I did want to throw out real quick. We've talked about a bunch of, you know, how fun this game is, but one thing we failed to mention is all the playable characters. Obviously,
right,
Mikey, Raph, Donnie, Leo, obviously, right?
Right.
But you have a couple other characters you can play as April O'Neil. Yep. You can play as Master Splinter. And once you beat the game, you unlock Casey Jones. So the total of 7 playable characters, a lot of fun. Obviously, room there in the future to add more. I mean, heck, they could even add the punk frogs in there.
The
if they
punk
felt
frogs,
like it.
Yeah.
But
that'd be kind of funny if those were like a secret unlockable or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, again, there's a lot of room to add a bunch of cool characters if they ever revisit. I'd say if they do add more characters, they probably want to add more levels. You know, like a DLC or something like
don't
that.
Don't they? Like, there are secret levels in the game, though, aren't there?
Are there? I guess
I think so. Well, like, because I remember when one of the things that Heather and I did is we early on, there was you go through, I think, Ima's apartment or something
Irma?
Like that.
Oh, Irma?
Irma. Yeah. Why did I think Ima? Irma's apartment. And then I think that's how we ended up on the level where we were chasing down Rocksteady, and they're in the big like monster truck.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, it's,
that wasn't the normal level, was it?
No, that was.
Oh, okay.
So I guess we could talk about Irma. And so in the game, the different characters we mentioned with like the punk frogs and neutrinos. I feel like I'm messing that up. Anyways, the alien things. You also find Irma, Vern, and is it Bert? What was his name? Burn? Yeah, Burn Thompson. They're just they're kind of collectibles essentially, right? And then they serve as so like Irma, she lost a bunch of diaries. So throughout the different levels, you just collect some of her diaries. So she's kind of just a collectible herself along with her lost diaries. But as far as I know, in just a 2-second Google search here, I don't see anything for any secret levels.
Oh, okay.
But I
thought there was going to be like branching paths or things like
that.
With some of these levels, kind of like a, you know, like a Super Mario 3 kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I was getting from it.
The other little nodes that maybe you didn't visit and you're getting that impression from, did you so once you find like Irma and Vern and Burn and the frogs and stuff, they have a little node on the map that if you go to them, they just sit there and say, hey, go find, like the frogs are like, go find bugs or something, right?
Okay.
But those are little offshoot nodes. So maybe that's where you were kind of getting that impression that there were secret levels.
Okay. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. No, they just serve as collectibles, and if you collect everything, you just get some experience. And again, that just goes towards leveling up. What is it? What I say? There's 10 levels to a character, and again, it just unlocking things like an extra bar of health or an extra life or something like
that. Extra attacks too, like extra specials.
The air attack, yeah. And if you get the specials up to level 3, you can kind of go into, I don't know, which ninja mode or something. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know what they call that.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't. Then I guess there is no secret levels. Though I think that would be cool if they added some.
Secret levels, more.
Like,
more,
especially for beating some of those challenges, because there's a challenge system in the game that we haven't talked about.
Yeah, some of those are pretty tough.
Yeah.
I mean, we some of them you're just kind of, as you play through it, you unlocked it, like most challenges. But a few of them were like I think the first mission is like, don't get hit. And you're like, what?
Like, yeah, okay. The take no damage. And I was like, well, we already failed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some that are kind of like,
is it just for achievements that you do those?
I think
or do you actually get something for it?
I think the challenges add to like that, the points to unlock your levels for your character.
Oh, that's kind of boring.
Yeah. I'm sure there's achievements tied to it. I mean, there's achievements for
everything anymore. There is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't really go out of my way to do any challenges again, because you're just there having fun beating up the foot and talking crap to your, in my case, my siblings and their friends. And, you know, like, yeah, it was just a, I wasn't going in there like, yeah, I'm going to unlock all the challenges. If it happened, it happened. Right. You know,
no, don't lie. You got so pissed off every time somebody took damage because you couldn't get the, you know, take no damage challenge finished. You were like, oh, how could you be so bad at this game?
I was actually mad, not really mad, but we were at one of the rooftop levels. It like one of the challenges is just have, you know, nobody fall off the roof. And we're towards the end. I'm like, oh, I think we're going to get this. And then my brother and his friend just, they go to jump across the from one roof to another and they both go down. I'm like, what the hell? It's not that hard to jump over. Like it's not one of those games where like, it's like some crazy challenging jump. It's just part of the level, right? You just kind of jump over it, right? Whatever. Who cares?
Sure.
Jumping is not easy. I don't care what game you're
playing. Back. Spoiler for
those
listening.
Way to play it cool, Matt. Way to play it cool.
We lost Mike for 10 minutes, I think. So, but we're glad you're back. Yeah.
But hey, that news and interest thing is gone.
Oh, there you go.
Way to go.
You fixed your computer.
So, Mike, we've talked about most of the things pretty much at length. Did you have anything to say as far as like the gameplay? I think one of the things, one of the things I did want to mention in terms of the gameplay was some of the mechanics got a little wonky at times, like especially for like aerial units. Like trying to jump and attack some of the like the flying robots and flying things was kind of rough.
On those surfboards, like those jet boards, trying to jump those guys.
Yeah,
that was pretty much use your special and kill everything on the board. Like,
yeah,
right.
I found the best solution to that was if you hit the jump button and the X, the basic attack, at the same time you do like an upper attack. Mm-hmm. And I would just, in those levels, especially with the flying things, that's all I would do. I'd just jump around. You know, and I usually didn't have any problems. I think the biggest issue there is not, it didn't seem like every unit had some sort of, I know it'd be goofy because you're flying and stuff like that, but some ground level like shadow or something to indicate like when you're moving your character, which was lower on the map, yep, or the level, you could move over and then you, hey, I'm under this, right? It really pissed me off with the, what was it, the flying level when you were, you weren't in your blimp, but you saw it in the background, the Statue of Liberty, and you're on your little whatever flying skateboards or whatever, is the pizzas. That annoyed me. They didn't have shadows. And there's times where I thought I was lining it up. Pizzas, by the way, gave you health in the level.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, here comes a pizza. I need some health. And I thought I'd line up with it. And then like I'd jump or move around and I'd never get it. I'm like, what the hell? Like I thought I was lined up to get this. Nope. I guess I wasn't at the right, you know, Z level in the game, Z position in the game to grab it. So yeah, that was, but I never really struggled with it once I kind of started doing the jump and attack at the same time. But those pizzas were annoying.
Yeah. I did the, if you hit jump twice, you kind of do like that, like sort of a double jump, and then yep, you can mash the attack button and you basically just attack as you're falling from your mm-hmm. jump. That's what I did most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I was saying before I dropped off, like this is when I noticed that I crashed out because nobody replied, was basically just the idea that, you know, we were talking about loving all the characters and all the things that came up and all the awesomeness. You know, it felt good to the IP. At the same time, it was a solid game without it. Like if you stripped away all of the Turtles stuff to it, like 90% of this game, I'd say, was a good game. Like I didn't feel like, oh my god, they made a Turtles game and it's just Turtles for nostalgia, the rest of the game sucks. Yeah. Like to have a nostalgia game that actually plays well as well, mm-hmm. as well was just really nice, like a breath of fresh air to have.
Yeah, that was something that Matt and I were kind of talking about, was that one of the greatest things about this game was just in general its simplicity and how it really just boiled, like the whole game really focused on the fun part of the game and making sure that the player has fun. Like they weren't trying to get cute with any crazy mechanics or weird progression systems or anything like that. Like it was really just let them have fun beating the hell out of, you know, Foot Clan and everything else. Like that is the focus. Have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fact that it was so simple, that the game is so simplistic, allows them to just really let the fun kind of, you know, rise up from everything else.
Yeah. No, just by saying it's simple, we don't mean that. Like, that's not a bad thing.
Right? No, like simplicity, there's beauty in simplicity, and this game shows a lot of it.
And even we've mentioned like the shortness of the game and you know that the combo system and the, you know, the controls and stuff aren't like anything crazy. Again, I don't think those are bad things. In the only time I'd say it's bad, and we've mentioned this, is the fact that like it did seem like the game is a little pricier for what you get type thing, right?
Right.
You know, that's the only time I'd say that's like that's a bad thing, that it's short. It just, you know, bring it down to $15 and it's like, yeah, go drop $15 on this now. You know, it's a great game. You're going to get $15 worth. It's fantastic.
Definitely a sale title, right? Like if you don't have 100%. Game Pass and you're not really wanting to just get in and play it, because if you like Turtles and you like beat 'em ups, buy it, right? Get it now. Yeah. Don't wait for the sale. But if you're like, ooh, this looks good, I really want to play it, but this is a little out of my pocket budget, there's going to be a sale. This game is going to do really well for a while, and there's going to be a massive sale, and it's just going to, you know, skyrocket back into purchase.
Yep.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, once like a Steam sale hits, 100% buy this game.
Or the best thing, you all have Game Pass, right, dear listeners? You go just download it and play it for free. Well, not for free, part of your subscription. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Our listeners better all have Game Pass at this point.
And I mean, most of our games that we play are on Game Pass. I think there's
You have Game Pass, but you did buy this on Steam. So.
I did buy it on Steam, yes. Yeah. Which, funny enough, is because it was on sale.
Yep.
Yeah, it was like $4 off or something like that. So I was like, well, I want this in my library.
So you're sitting here complaining it was $25 and you only spent $21 on it.
I did, yes.
Jeez.
Yes. But then I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's still kind of high price for even for this.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, any other last thoughts from you, Mike, since you were gone for a short bit? You know, any other
no,
points?
No, I mean, other than the game is a ton of fun, you know, on the dad side of the world, you can play this with 5, 6, 7-year-olds and they'll be able to, one, you'll be able to hang out long enough to keep them alive so that it's not just going to be them dying and you playing the game. And two, it's a load of fun. Like, my son just, he asks every other day if we can play Turtles, and he's not even a huge Turtle fan to start with, but now he's on to the TV shows and any other thing he can get his hands on for Turtles. So,
he is about to become like a huge Turtles fan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just don't tell your, what was it, 7, 8-year-old to press the, what was it, left bumper?
The party time.
Oh God.
The pizza time.
He's party time. And I'm in the middle of fighting like 9 dudes. And I'm like, buddy, you gotta stop. You gotta help me. Otherwise I'm gonna get, oh, nope. And then like I get knocked out. He's like, oh, I'll give you pizza. I'm like, no, just stay in your corner because you're about to get it now. He comes in and jumps and we both die. I'm like, okay, well, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
So from the parent angle, it's definitely parent approved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And there's very little reading. There's, you know, a ton of characters to pick from. Did we mention that April got that fat butt?
Ooh, no,
we did not, but go ahead.
So there's April O'Neil. Did you talk about other characters? Like, did you get into Casey or anything like that? Okay, so. So yeah, I mean, there's Splinter is a ton of fun too. You can get, you know, if you beat the Rat King with him, we found out you get an achievement, so that was pretty cool. Lots of characters for kids to enjoy, I thought.
I really enjoyed playing as April, but not because of that fat ass, but I liked her special move a little better, right? Like Leo's the best character in TMNT just in general, but when his special attack, he just stays there. He's static with his area attack. April takes a camera and swings it around, and you can, it's long enough and you don't stay in still, you can move it a little bit that you can kind of cover a small area. I found that to be pretty helpful compared to Leo's special attack.
I was kind of annoyed that Casey Jones' special attack is basically Leonardo's attack. I was like, eh. They could have given me something else.
Yeah.
Only grape. Otherwise, the rest is good.
Cool. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this month's episode of the Book Club. Matt, Mike, thank you both very much for joining me. Sorry we couldn't play this one together, unfortunately. But
I only kind of joined. Like, I started, I said hey, and then I left for a little bit.
You're still here. Got
some nachos and was like... Yep.
The teacher checked you in and you got your attendance credit. So
yeah. Nice.
So it's all good. All right. Well, this has been a really good episode. This was a lot of fun to play. And I think this was a lot of fun to talk about too. I'm really excited for our next game. So the one that I picked, which was Tunic. So next month, the month of August will be Tunic. So if you're interested in playing Tunic and talking about Tunic with us, you can head over to campfiregamingpodcast.com and hit the link to our Discord. You can also find out what we're talking about if we are, you know, maybe sharing clips or if we're sharing screenshots or something like that while we're doing the playthroughs. You can catch us on Twitter at campgamepod. And be sure that if you are joining us on one of your favorite platforms to give us a like, give us a subscribe, and we will see you next time around the campfire.